Today I'm going to be talking about the Song of the Thatched Hut by Shurto Shichen. And I will be going over this in great detail, but as way of introduction, the first thing that I want to go over is what we might make of this poem, how we should approach it, and how we can conceive of it.
今天我要讲的呢是石头西迁的草庵歌，我们今天会一行一行深入的来讲。在讲之前呢，我想有必要先讲一下我们到底如何来学习这首石头西迁草庵歌，从中我们能够学到什么。
If you just glance over this poem and read it quickly, it's 32 lines, so it'sreally not that difficult to just glance through and get a gist of what it's saying. You might think that this is a poem about a monk who went to the forest and meditated and had some insights about meditation.
如果你只是很快速的阅读这首草庵歌的话，其实也并不太难，因为它比较简短，总共就32行。但是你可能会认为啊，这首草庵歌讲的是一个僧人修行者，他在深山老林里建了一个小的草庵，然后在里边打坐啊，然后有一些自己的感悟，所以就写了这首草庵歌。
But this is a work of a great enlightened master.Who has reached a great level of enlightenment, attained the fruits of practice, and who is expressing his experience to us as best one can do through words and language.
但实际上呢，并不像我们刚刚讲的表象这么简单，就是一个修行者在深山老林建了一个草庵，然后在那边打坐，然后分享他的体验。实际上这一首草庵歌的作者石头西迁呢，是一个有所成就的有很深开悟经验的一个大修行者。他试图通过这首草庵歌，是他通过语言文字向我们表述他的一种开悟经验的一种方式。
And it's important to understand that this is not just a list of abstract philosophy and ideas. This is about who Shurto is, and of course we'd have to say is not. It's about his search for an understanding of Chan and his embodiment of the practice.And this is very important for us, right? This is not something apart from us. As it says in the Diamond Sutra, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas come out of this. And out of this poem, out of the Song of the Thatched Hut, we too can understand this, can embody it and emerge out ofa like kind of experience.
所以这首石头西迁的草庵歌呢，它其实讲的并不是一个抽象的哲学理论，或者只是一种抽象的想法。实际上它是对自己修行的一种体验，然后将这种体验写出来。这首草庵歌代表了他对禅的理解，代表了石头西迁本身如何是对我这个看法，以及对修行如何将这首草庵歌，将他所体验到的开悟境界具体落实到修行当中的一个过程。就如同在《金刚经》当中 金刚经其实代表了我们众生，所有众生佛菩萨所有的真心所呈现的一种状态，这首草庵歌其实也代表了这样一种开悟的状态。
To explain that a little further, it's understood in Chan practice that we are or have Buddha nature, that there is a true aspect, a completeness to ourselves which we don't always recognize. And the sutras and poems like this are pointing the way for us to see that in ourselves. And that is the point that I wanted to make.
其实我想说的就是说，众生都有佛性，都应该能够体验到开悟的境界，但是当然我们做不到，所以一般佛经和诗歌，像这种禅师所做偈子，就会通过诗歌来向你展现开悟的状态和真心的状态。
In order to accomplish this, I'm going to talk about just what it means that this is the song of the thatched hut. I'm taking that not as a throwaway term, but that it's essential, as this is an expression, an embodiment of Shurto. And I'll be using some examples from Western poetry, where perhaps these Western poets are not on the level that Shurto was, but they're certainly on a level that we can relate to, and they have struggled with understanding themselves, expressing themselves, and I will use that as an introduction so that we know why it is we're studying this poem, that it relates directly to our experience, to our everyday life, to the problems that we face on a continual basis, and how there is there's a part of us that can transcend what our normal view of who we are is.
所以这首石头西迁草庵歌其实是一种通过一种表达方式来表达石头西迁它的本性是什么，然后这种表现，这种本性应该是每个和我们每个众生都是息息相关的。然后在讲这首草庵歌的过程当中，我也会引用一些美国著名诗人的一些诗歌来体现，虽然这些美国的诗歌他们的深度和高度不能达到这首草庵歌，但是也表现了他们这些诗人在寻求想要认识到底我们是谁，我们的生存状态是什么，他们想要到底就是深究我们是谁这样一个本源的问题。所以希望在讲述这首草庵歌的过程当中，最后能够落实到我们日常生活当中与我们息息相关的问题。
So a song is not something just on the top 40 or something that's in your iPod. A song is a celebration. It is an expression of one's experience, inner and outer, which is presented to the world, stays for a moment, and then is gone. It is something lovely like a flower, which can be appreciated for the moment, but can't be pinned down.
所以我们这里讲的这个草庵歌的歌这个字到底是什么意思呢？这个歌并不是大家手机里或者智能手机里边不少歌曲可以听的那种歌曲，这里的歌所指的是一种诗歌体，一种诗歌的形式，是一种表达方式。表达什么呢？是表达一种内在的感受，或者他所体验到的外在的东西，然后通过内在的感受来表述。在这个过程当中，这种感受是瞬间的，它是暂时拥有的，又很抽象，不容易抓住的，就像人们在欣赏鲜花一样，你能够短暂的能够感受到鲜花的美丽，能够欣赏它。
The Japanese Soto master Shunro Suzuki was once talking to a neuroscientist, and the neuroscientist was asking him about deep states of consciousness. And Suzuki said, I don't know anything about deep states of consciousness. I just teach my students how to hear the singing of a bird.
有一次呢，日本曹洞宗著名的祖师铃木俊龙在跟一个著名的西方的神经科学家做讨论的时候，这位科学家问这位日本的禅师说，我想知道比较深的深入的意识是怎样一种状态。然后铃木俊龙禅师说，我不教这个，我不了解你所谓的很深的意识状态是什么样子的，但是我是教我的徒弟能够学会如何聆听鸟的鸣叫。
So a song is simplicity itself, an appreciation, a beholding of the world as it is, without the necessity of concepts or views or labels.
所以歌的这种艺术形式，这种载体，它实际上是一种直观，就是它需要你去直接体验，而不加任何的概念啊、理论啊。
So I'm going to turn to an American poet from the 19th century named Walt Whitman, very famous here in America, for expressing his views about life and his experience in a very unrestrained way. And I'm going to quote a poem of his called Song of Myself. Now, this is a very, very long poem, and I'm only going to quote three lines because I have limited time. And the reason behind this is this poem is called Song of Myself. And some people have called it a very egotistical poem, but there's much, much more insight in it. But I'm just going to quote these first lines, which is, I celebrate myself and sing myself, and what I assume, you shall assume, for every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you. So in this poem, he's talking about himself, celebrating it himself, but in another way, he's not separating himself from everybody else. Everybody's atom, everyone's essential part is as good as what is within him.
Mm-hmm.在这里呢，我想引用一首美国19世纪著名诗人惠特曼的一首著名的诗歌，它的名字叫赞美我自，就是我自己的一首歌。很多人认为这首诗词有一些太自我，因为它的诗词名字就叫我自己的歌。然后这首诗词非常的长，在这里我只引用前三句，它讲到我赞美我自己，我歌唱我自己，我承担的你也将承担，因为属于我的每一个原子也同样属于你。但是我觉得这首诗词呢，也不仅仅只是很自我的一首歌，因为它并没有把我和你和他区别开来，他在赞美他自己同时又看到了所有的人都是一个整体，因为他讲到我承担的你也将承担，因为属于我的每一个原子也同样属于你。这首诗词就体现了这位诗人在探求生命的真谛。
So I'd be tempted to almost entitle Shurto's poem as Song of Not Myself, but it's that would be making a mistake too. That would be bending too far towards nihilism, towards denying the self. And it's important to remember what Dogen Zenji said. He said, to study Buddha Dharma is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. And to forget the self is to be enlightened by all things. So it's a very important thing to understand that we have selves, a moment-to-moment self, a mere self, as one Tibetan master calls it, which has a reality in a certain way, but it's not all of who we are. So Whitman in this poem talks about everything that he's ever tasted, done, seen, thought. And what Shurto is going to be talking about is an experience of letting go of all of these things. But the search is somewhat similar, but the outcome, of course, is very different for an enlightened Chan master.
所以呢，对比美国诗人惠特曼这首诗歌，石头西迁的这首草湾歌呢，好像名字可以叫做关于不是我的一首歌。当然，如果我这样说，大家会觉得比较虚无，陷入虚无主义这样一种情绪。所以正如日本著名禅师道元禅师当时一句著名的话说，学习佛法就是学习自己，学习自己的目的就是能够忘记自己，能够忘记自己又需要开悟，能够才能真正的做到。所以佛法跟探索自我过程是很这个连接是很紧密的。自我从佛法角度来讲，我们体验着每时每刻的一种自我，它在现象界是有一定的作用，并不能完全否认。而石头西迁的这首草湾歌其实讲的就是如何的不断的放下经验上的这种自我。所以惠特曼，美国诗人惠特曼和石头西迁，他们都是在探索生命的本质，虽然他们的结果很不一样，因为作为一个开悟的禅师，他的境界是要高得多。
This idea of finding ourselves, knowing who we are, understanding how we interact with the worldis an essential part of life. So we have some poets here who are singing about their quest and Shirto's song of his grass hut. We could also ask ourselves a question, you know, what would be each individual's song? You know, who are you now at the moment? What is it that...you understand in the world? What is it that you express when you are with yourself, with your friends and family? What is it that you think will be happening and how you should react to things? This entire question, all rolled up into this ball of the question in the poem. And one way of looking at this song, and remember, there are other...very famous poems in Chan literature that speak about songs. Let me let.
所以不管是石头西迁的草湾歌，还是美国很多诗人所写的诗歌，他们的主题都是在探索我们究竟是谁，我们跟世界到底是怎样一个关系，应该跟外境怎样的互动。所以我们其实也可以落实到个人。入识到我们自己会谱写一首怎样的诗歌，我们自己的歌是什么，我们在和朋友在和家人在一起的时候，我们又会想表达怎样一种情绪，怎样一首歌。
So another way of looking at this, the song of the thatched hut, is to look at it as a gungan itself, a critical phrase.
So 另外一种能够解读草湾歌的方式，就是把它当作一种公案来看，禅宗的公案。
Usually a gongan is a dialogue either between a master and a disciple, or two masters, two disciples. It's usually a dialogue that shows a moment of deep understanding. This is simply a song. It's an expression. But I have beenworking on this and thinking about it for quite a while, and for me it has actually served as a gungan. I keep reading it, going over it, seeing more connections, getting a deeper understanding of what's inside, which is once again my getting an understanding of myself.
一般说到禅宗公案呢，它一般是一种对话的形式出现的，就是一般是开悟的禅宗祖师跟修行他的徒弟修行者之间的一种对话。但是草湾歌这种诗歌的形式，它是一种单独的一种表述。但是我是把草湾歌当作一种公案来参的，在我一遍又一遍的解读的过程当中，我的理解是越来越深。
Now I'm going to turn to another poet, an English poet, William Butler Yeats, who was one of the most famous poets of the 20th century, and whereas he might not have been a Buddhist, he explored deeply the nature of things. And in understanding himself, in writing about his work, he had an insight into how he might be hiding from the world, how he was not really finding himself. So he has a poem, it's called A Coat, and I'll read it twice, and then I'll summarize it because I don't really have an overhead projector here. But it's a very short poem, and it's called A Coat. And it says, I made my song a coat covered with embroideries out of old mythologies from heel to throat. But the fools caught it, wore it in the world's eyes as though they'd wrought it. Song, let them take it, for there's more enterprise in walking naked.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. 所以在这里呢，我想提到另一首，二十世纪英国诗人叶芝的一首诗，名字叫《外衣》。这首诗并不长，所以我就在这边跟大家讲一下。他写的是，我为我的歌织就一身五彩的外衣，上面编织着从古代神话中抽出的锦绣，可愚的人将它有趣穿起来，在人面前炫耀，俨然出于自己之手。哥，就让他们拿去，因为需要更大的勇气才敢赤身行走。
Okay, and just to read it one more time. A coat, I made my song a coat covered with embroideries out of old mythologies from heel to throat. But the fools caught it, wore it in the world's eyes as though they'd wrought it. Song, let them take it.For there's more enterprise in walking naked. So, to summarize, William Butler Yeats might not have been a Buddhist, but I can certainly turn him into one because he's not here to defend himself. And the song could be his work, his endeavors as an artist, or it could beAn expression of his deepest being. But what he did is he got attached, he got caught up in his own ego, and so he made his song, who he was, a coat. He hid in it and tried to impress people. That's what it says about the coat being covered with embroideries out of old mythologies, really using esoteric things to impress people.But then what he recognized is that people didn't understand him anyway. So they caught this coat and wore it in the world's eyes. They just used it for their own purposes, didn't really understand him, didn't really care about who he was. And so he realizes that that's an inevitable part of what happens. I mean, we are the only ones who really understand ourselves. So here he says, song...who I am, let the world take this cover, let me remove it, because there's more enterprise, more value, more depth, and more truth in walking naked. And that doesn't mean taking off his clothes, of course, it means being who he essentially is.
Mm, Harry 刚就跟我们解释了一下英国叶芝写的这首《外衣》，他到底想说什么？诗歌是一种比较深奥的表达方式。大家这一段是我的评述，不过就是在讲之前，大家要有一个了解，就是说诗歌一般诗人是一种非常纠结的人诗人一般都是思想者，他想这个跟禅宗有点像，他想探索到底我是谁这样一个很深奥很深奥的问题。所以在这首诗歌里边他是怎么表述的呢？他就是发现他想躲在这个世界的背后，他想把自己所认识到的他认为的自我呢做在外面躲起来。所以他说，他的诗歌里说，我为我的歌织就了一身五彩的外衣，他认为他就躲在这个外衣的后面来面对这个世界。 然后他当然把这个外衣说得很神乎其神，因为他说到这个外衣是由古代从神话中抽出来的锦绣所织成的。但是他又说到，但他发现呢，世人呢还能够看穿这团外衣，所以可疑的人们呢又将它拿去穿起来啊、所以他当他穿起来在外人面前炫耀时候，他发现世人并不真正的想要去理解他或者在乎他是谁啊、所以他最后就说啊，那哥就让他们拿去，因为需要更大的勇气才敢赤身行走。这种诗歌的比喻不是说他真的要不穿衣服在街上行走，他只是说要以真实的自我去面对世人，因为以真实的自我去面对世界的时候需要更大的勇气，并且他认为有更多的真实性和真相当你能够真实的面对这个世界。
So in setting the stage for how we can approach Chertow's poem, that's why I've gone over these Western poems to showwhat a deep search people in many cultures have made, and how important this enterprise, the way Yeats used the word, this enterprise is. Sometimes in Chan, they call it this great matter. Everything inside of us and around us. And before I actually get into the poem, I just want to give a short story about anotherTibetan master named Trungpa Rinpoche, very famous here in the West. A woman once approached him and said, I have all this stuff going on, child, work, and everything. I can't get away into a cave like Milarepa, or many Chan masters. Yet the lineage forefathers, the patriarchs and everyone, all say that this is the only way to attain enlightenment. What should I do?And Trungpa replied, you must view the world as your cave. And in a very recent talk here, Guoxing Fashur said that we should view all places in every moment as the Chan Hall.
所以我之所以引用美国的美国英国这些诗人的诗呢，只是想向大家显示探索我是谁这样一种很深刻的对生命本质的探索，这种现象其实是存在于各种文化中的就像石头西迁想探究人生的本真谛一样。然后我还想提到一点，就是说在有一个西藏的修行者有一次有一个出家众有一个在家的女众呢，向这个西藏修行者问到一个问题，他说，哎呀，我生活很烦啊，因为有各种事情，比如孩子呀、工作呀，还有其他一些事情，我没有办法像密勒日巴大家都很熟悉，是西藏的一个非常著名的大成就者。密勒日巴是把自己关在一个山洞里修行的，所以他说，我没有办法像密勒日巴一样躲进一个山洞修行啊，但是呢各代的祖师又都说躲进山洞修行是唯一能够达到开悟境界的一个方法，我该怎么办呢？西藏的这位法师就说，他说那你必须把你所生活的这个世界就当做一个山洞啊，这样就行了。然后这个就让我想到国行法师前几天的一个说法。国行法师说我们不仅仅要把禅堂当做禅堂，而是要把生活的每时每刻你所处的地方都当做禅堂才行。
And lastly, before I get into the poem, I just want to make sure that I make it clear this is not an exercise in poetic interpretation or comparative literature. We're really trying to actually merge and understand what a great enlightened master has to tell us.
我想再强调一下，我今天之所以引用了很多西方的诗歌，并不是想要做一个中西方比较文学研究我只是想让大家了解到首先这个对自我探索是在各种文化中都有，其次我想向大家展示一下开悟者他所写的诗歌是有如何的不同。
So let's begin with the first two lines of the poem.
好，接下来我们就具体来看一下这首石头西迁的草庵歌，我们先来看第一前两句。
I've fashioned a grass hut made from nothing of the world. I've finished eating. At ease, content, I go to sleep.
嗯，这首歌的前两句讲到，五节草庵无宝贝，饭了从容图睡快。
Okay, so once again, on the surface, this looks pretty innocuous, pretty simple. But it is a lot more than that when we really get into it. So in the Chinese, I'm not sure whether I'm reading too much in it, but it uses the word jie for the thatch. I literally knotted some thatch, and that character is often used to mean hindrances, limitations, obstruction. So it's very interesting, and it may be off the point, but I just thought I would mention that.
这是古文啊，我不知道大家对古文这个能不能很容易懂啊？我觉得得古文得看了字才比较容易懂。这五节草庵无宝贝，第一句话五就是我的意思，就是说我结了一个草庵，草庵就是一个茅草房，就是很简单用草搭的茅草房。他就说我结了这个草庵，也不像什么宝贝。然后我在里边吃饭，饭了就吃完饭呢，也很淡定从容的就睡个觉，就这就第前两句话的意思。听上去好像没什么。因为很简单嘛，就是我结了一个茅草房，我盖了一个茅草房，然后在里边吃饭睡觉，就这两句话的意思。但是Harry 刚刚指出，他说他这个结这个中国字用的非常，他觉得非常的有意思，可能他想多了，但也有可能是有另外深层的含义。因为结中文这个结字有很多的意思，比如说可以说打结，你打很多结，所以盖一个茅草房，一个是这个一层意思，还有一种意思叫心结，比如说你有心结，你就不开心啊，想不开啊，或者有障碍啊，所以又是一个结，所以他觉得这个地方用结这个字应该是另有深层的含义。
So his practice is involved with obstruction. So there's a Chan idea of that. Vexations are wisdom. Samsara is nirvana. So that's already woven into the poem, if you will.
所以他觉得这个节字的深刻的寓意在于他似乎暗示了他所盖的这个茅草房啊，是跟要打开人们的心结呀，要破除障碍啊，是有关的。因为我们讲应该放下万缘，破除心结之后才能显示真正的智慧。
Alright, the next part of that first line is something I'm going to go into with some depth. It's the Wu Bao Bei. The way I've translated is made from nothing of the world. Other translators have said they've made a hut and it contains nothing precious or nothing of value. And the reason that I translated the way I did will become clear when I give a quote from The Gateless Gate.
然后第一行的后半句讲到没有无宝贝。无宝贝该怎么理解？有两种理解方式。一种就是说我这个茅草房所盖的材料啊，不是什么宝贝，就是用一些茅草盖的嘛，所以不是宝贝，这是第一种理解。第二种理解是说我这个茅草屋里边没有宝贝，这是第二种理解方式。但是我觉得呢，我比较倾向于第一种理解方式。等一下等我讲到下面的时候，你就会理解我为什么这么讲。
So in the introduction to The Gateless Gate, Woman says Buddhism makes mind its foundationand no gate, its gate. Now, how do you pass through this no gate? Are you not aware that things coming in through the gate are not world treasures? What is gained from conditions has a beginning and an end and will ultimately break down.
我之所以认为节字应该取第一种解释的原因，是因为在无门之门 这样一首公案当中，他讲到这首公案讲到佛与心为宗，无门为法门，既是无门，且坐莫深透，岂不见道？从门入者不是家珍，从虑得者终始成坏。
What I want to bring attention to is in that quote about things coming through the gate are not world treasures. The Chinese, which in Wumen Guan is Jia Jian, and the Bao Bei in other words, the from nothing in the world are absolutely identical. And there's more of an understanding when you look at it in the context of Wu Men Guan, because there it says that practice is something that you realize on your own in and of itself. You don't need something external. You don't need, even in Chan, even teachings or guidance. There is an essential true nature. And anything outside of that, any conditioned thing, is subject to decay. So when Shurto says that his hut is made from nothing in the world, or it contains nothing of value, it's not like, you know, if some joker took a jeweled crown and dropped it in his hut, that there would be something precious of the world. The point is that he, at the beginning of this poem, as a fully enlightened master, doesn't have a mind that discriminates. He doesn't have a mind that is going to label something as precious or not precious. So he's beginning with a very, very pure statement of how he is existing. And then that's continued in the second line where he says, I finished eating at ease, content, and I go to sleep. Everything is as it should be. Nothing is lacking. Nothing is wanting. Everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm. 在这里刚刚我们讲到的无门之门，这首无门关这个公案当中也讲到家珍，家珍和宝贝是一样的意思，所以我才认为这里所讲到的为什么说他这个茅草房不是用什么宝贝盖的，是因为就像我们修行一样，我们修行本身是一种向内看，是一种自信的修行，我们本性就已经是完美的，我们的真心跟佛性是一样的，是不需要通过外界的东西才能够让我们显现真心的，所以任何外在的东西都是因为任何外在的所谓的宝贝它都会腐败，它都会过去，所以这种修行是一种自信的开发，就相当于这个草庵也不需要用什么外在的奇珍异宝来修盖一样道理。然后作为一个开悟者，石头西迁他的第一句就显示了他的心已经是一个没有分别心的一个开悟的心，所以在他看来不存在宝贝不宝贝，然后所以这第一句就显示了他的一种存在的状态，他的真心的存在的状态是一种直观的状态，是一种没有分别心，没有对象，很完美，是什么就是什么的这样一种状态。
Once Master Shengyan Shifu was in Hong Kong with a member from his temple, and they were at a large department store. And this particular member, I imagine, was quite wealthy, and he said to Shifu, anything you want, whatever you want in this department store, I'll buy it for you. And Shifu said, I don't want anything. You know, I can't, I remember the story. I can't imagine what this guy was thinking. I mean, did Shofu need a pair of water skis or a food processor? Window treatments. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous, but Shofu did mention that story.
嗯，我在这里想到一个曾经师傅的一个故事。师傅曾经到香港的时候，有一个非常有钱的有一个非常有钱人，然后他带师傅到了一个高档的百货大楼，说师傅，你看到的所有东西，你想要什么你就买什么，我替你付钱。然后师傅就说，我什么也不想要，我什么也不需要。然后我当时听了这个故事觉得挺搞笑的，不知道那个有钱人心里在想什么，他认为师傅需要滑雪的皮靴，还是需要什么高级的搅拌机，还是需要什么。
Okay. And just to finish with those first two lines, just to, once again to emphasize how utterly remarkable those two lines are, even though they seem likejust very, very ordinary. I'm reminded of the Diamond Sutra, which is in 32 chapters. And the first chapter of the Diamond Sutra simply has the Buddha coming into Kapilavastu, the capital of one of the great states there, begging for food, sitting down and eating, and then just arranging himself on the mat, ready for a question. A number of teachers have pointed out that the Diamond Sutra is utterly complete in that first chapter, because you are seeing the Buddha as he is and was and is for all time. There's nothing lacking. Everything is complete once again. And of course, what happens in the rest of the Diamond Sutra, and of course what happens in the rest of this poem, is there is more information, more understanding, more insight into how that happens to be, why that is such a state of perfection.
所以呢，这让我也想到了《金刚经》一开始的时候讲到佛进入舍卫大城这个城市之后，然后坐下起食吃饭，然后就伏席而坐，看似就非常简单。有很多法师解释《金刚经》其实到这里就已经圆满了，为什么？因为这就是一种就是而是的状态，你看到了佛就是这样，他就是这样。所以接下来的余下《金刚经》的内容就是他当然有他自己的解释，但是从真心的这种状态直观就是而是这种状态来讲，他讲到前面《金刚经》前面两句的时候，他已经圆满了。
Okay, the next two lines. At the time of completion, the thatch seemed new. Now it has fallen to disrepair. I will add more thatch.
接下来的两行草安哥的两行讲的是他讲是辰时初见茅草新，破后怀将茅草盖，这个也比较容易理解，就是讲他刚开始盖的时候是这个茅草房是新的，过了一阵子他就坏了，需要加一点草。
Now the first two characters of the first line, Cheng Shi,Well, Cheng means to accomplish, to succeed, to attain, and the character Shi means time. So it's literally at the time of completion, at the time of success, at the time of attainment. Now, most translators looked at that line and thought that it meant when the hut was completed. And of course, you certainly can interpret it that way, that at the time of the completion, the thatch seemed new.
所以这个第三句讲到辰时初见茅草新，辰时这第二个字，辰我们知道是在完成，有完成的意思，所以时是一个时间的概念，所以第一句话有翻译就是认为 这句话的理解应该是说，当这个茅草房刚刚盖完的时候，完成的时候，它是新的。当然这是一种理解方式。
But in Guo Xingfasher's interpretation of this line, that Chengshi is taken to mean at the time of Shertou's attainment, at the time of Shertou's enlightenment. So when he is complete, and when one is in a state of enlightenment, of attainment, completion, perfection, everything looks new. Everything is seen with a beginner's mind.
但是国姓法师的理解呢，是认为这个诚实初见，这个诚实并不是说茅草房盖完的时候，它其实上面是一种比喻，它是指说当他第一次当他开悟的时候，叫诚实，这个成就的时候。
Now in the next line, when it says now it is fallen to disrepair, I will add more thatch. There are a couple ways of interpreting this poem or that line, and in another of Shertou's poems, which is called The Inquiry into Matching Halves. Master Sheng Yan wrote a long commentary to the poem, and he makes it clear that when you talk about your nature, it can have two different meanings. One is something with characteristics. You know, you're tall, you're muscular, you're smart, you're not accomplished. You live somewhere. All of these things, that is one aspect of your nature. But then there's another aspect of your nature, which is what is concentrated in this poem, is that which transcends characteristics, which cannot be stated in words, which is something which is timeless and sees no boundaries. And...
No, you can go.
Okay. So one way of looking at it is saying, okay, I've reached... Shertou has reached enlightenment, but once again, as Master Sheng Yan says, once you've had an enlightenment experience, you have to work very hard. You have to keep practicing. So what happens is that things start falling apart. You can't maintain this level, right? So, and this is very much like there's a passage in the Book of Serenity where Yang Shan, cautions about what's called falling into the secondary. That means all of the things that are going on in your life, all of the things and the way that you normally interpret and react to the world, they're deeply embedded in us. There are habitual tendencies, and there's a very good chance, a very likely chance, that one can fall back into old habits. And you can look at least the first interpretation is that it's a caution to keep practicing, to keep renewing one's commitment.
所以这两行的诗歌的意思是从国行法师解释的角度来讲，并不只是好像字面表达的这个茅草房刚盖完的时候是新的，后来又破了，然后所以再需要再加点草。它实际上是一个，从国行法师的解释来说，它是一个比喻，就是说诚实初见，就是说这个修行者在第一次见性的时候，他是一种初学者的心来看待这个世界，都是新的，这是他第一次见性。他第一次见性之后呢，由于他的习性还是非常强，还是在那里，所以就像杨山提醒我们说，如果你不继续修行的话，你很快就会被习性拉走，所以又会退步，又会退回去。所以这边说到的破落破后，就是说你的修行又被习性拉回去了，又退步了。所以在这个时候呢，你要再盖一些茅草，就是说你要继续的持续的修行才行。这算是古人对我们的一种提醒。
There's another way of looking at the line also, a much deeper way, which is that we normally look at this and say, okay, there's a problem here. He's made this thatched hut, and the grass starts to wither away, and it has to be repaired. So there is an interruption in our sense of what should be, right? We have a real sense that we like things to be permanent. We like things to adhere to the way that we look at them. And later on in the poem, as you'll see when it talks about the middling and lesser paths, that's the way that those people, and I will be getting into that, people with those views might look at this. But for Chertow, things wither and fall away, and things grow. There's no interruption. There is nothing wrong. There is no problem. It is the way of the world. Everything is still in a state of perfection. We ordinary people might not see it that way. We see decay. We see problems. We see vexations. But someone in Chertow's state doesn't.
这个破后怀江茅草盖还有一更深一层一层的理解是说，从石头西迁角度来看，他觉得茅草屋过了一阵子就会破落，然后需要再加茅草，这一切都是非常的自然的，都是完美的一种状态，没有任何的问题。但是从我们一般人的角度来看，盖完了一个茅草屋，就希望它永远是新的，永远不会坏。然后一看到希望永远不会变化，如果看到它发生变化了，就会起烦恼心，就觉得这是问题，不完美了。所以这就体现了作为开悟者他角度来看，他并不会再持常见，希望什么都不变，他对空，对这种变化是非常自然的而然的看到它的本质，认为这些状态都是完美的。
Okay, next couplet.The one residing within the hut is ever present, belonging not to within, without, or in between. In the Diamond Sutra, there is a very famous line. Actually, we have it on T-shirts here at the Chan Center. Ying wu suo ju er sheng qi xin, dwell nowhere, and this mind shall arise. So...These lines are talking about someone who is in that realm. There is a mind that is not dwelling, but that yet it exists and it doesn't exist. It's ever present. And there's also a character, Jen, in the Chinese, which I think connotes a certain calmness and stability. And...There's yet another line in a quatrain in the Diamond Sutra. It says, the Buddha talking about himself, those who see me in form or seek me through sound are on a mistaken path. They do not see the Tathagata. So all normal ways of perceiving the world, of relating to the world, are not necessarily operative for Chertow at this point.There he is at this point in the poem. He is talking about the true self, the undying self, which has no boundaries in space, in time. So he's there. The person, the one residing, is always there. Yet he's not within, without, or in between. So that's.Absolutely impossible logically, right? If you're there, then you would be everywhere, right? But at this point, he's not saying that. But you, as you'll see in the next line, he does say it. So there's always this non-dualistic idea of looking at things from one way and affirming that, and then showing that that's no longer the case when you look at it from.Another way, and both views, all views are accurate and inaccurate.
接下来的两句是讲住安人正常在，不属中间与内外。这两句的意思呢，就让我想到了《金刚经》里边所讲到的非常著名的句子：“ 因无所住而生其心。这个就像这个比喻，这个茅草庵，草庵的比喻其实就像这个真心一样。因为住在这个草庵里边的人，其实他的心并没有住在任何，他的真心并没有停留在任何地方，他是无所住的。所以才会说正常在，他真心一直是在普世存在的。这就又像《金刚经》当中其他的经典说到，如果你以色身来找我，以我的声音来找我，那么你就错了，因为这些方法是没有办法见到真正的如来的。所以就像在讲到这两句的时候，他的真心一般是已经无法被世人所理解所体会到，因为世人看世界的角度都是从能所角度来看，他跟世人跟这个外境进行互动的角度也是一种颠倒妄想的一种互动。所以这里所讲述的是真心，是一种没有时空观念的超越能所的一种真心。要不然的话第二句不属中间与内外就会比较矛盾，因为如果是只是指人的话，你在这里在中间的话，那就不可能在外在内。他既然说到不属中间与内外，就已经超越了时空。
And as Sherfu points out in his commentary into the inquiry into matching halves, you know that the body that you have at this moment is different from the body that you had as a child. And by extension, your body is not the same as it was 1 minute ago. Different cells are dying and being born, blood is coursing through your veins.Continually changing. And if you take that back to the logical extension, that your body must have been very, very different before you were born. Mm-hmm. And so, also your mind is always different. Not for one moment do the thoughts in your mind remain the same. Continual change. Right? But here we are at this moment, all here together. So,there may be change, but by our very experience at this moment, there is also existence. And as Sherfu points out, emptiness, this non-availability, non-applicableness of characteristics is identical with our existence at any moment.So, like the one who is always residing in the hut, we too have always, there is a part of us that has always been residing within the universe.
所以师父在参同，就石头西迁还写了另一首著名的诗歌叫参同契，著名的禅宗偈子。师父在对参同契做评述的那本书当中呢提到，我们这个身体啊，此刻的身体跟过去的身体，跟你小时候的身体肯定是不一样了。这个身体其实跟你前一分钟以前的身体也不一样了，因为细胞不停的在新陈代谢，所以我们的身体其实是不停的在变化的，是没有一个固定的身体的。然后念头也同样，念头也是不停的在变化，所以大家现在坐在这里听讲座，其实是正在经历着不每时每刻都在起着一定的变化，我们的存在都在发生变化，这就部分就是一种空对空性的一种理解。但是呢，我们又是师父又提到，我们大家都坐在这里的时候，虽然每时每刻我们的身心都在变化，没有一个固定的东西，但是我们当中有一部分我们的真心这一块呢，它又是就像这个偈子所讲的，它是时时刻刻都存在的，就是真心又是时时刻刻都存在的。
So this poem points to many things, to the person who dwells within and who has always been there. But the poem won't show that to you. If you really want to know that, to understand that, think about the scene from the Platform Sutra, where Wei Nong is being pursued by Hui Ming, a jealous general who wants to take the robe and bowl away from him, but can't do it, and then begs Hui Nong for a teaching. And Wei Nong says to him, okay, without thinking of good or evil, tell me what is your original nature. And if you can answer that question, you can know the person who has always resided in the hut.
所以这句部署中间与内外呢，既含蓄地指出了真心的一个状态，但又并没有揭示答案，到底是谁呢？谁能够部署中间与内外？就像六祖坛经里边，大家肯定听过这个故事，曾经在出家前做大将军的慧明法师，当时他追杀六祖，就是要抢他的衣钵。当时慧能祖师就问了他一句话，他说：“不思善，不思恶，你的本质是什么？你的真实面目是什么？”如果你能够回答这个问题呢，也能够了解到这个草庵中部署中间与内外到底是谁。
Now it's a good time to ask, well, what is this hut that we've been talking about? Is it Shirto's body? Is it his mind? Is it his practice? Is it the universe? Our body, our mind? All Dharma realms? There could be all and none. There's not going to be a way that you can find the answer to that from reading the poem. It's from practice.
所以讲到这里呢，到底这个草庵到底是什么呢？它是石头西迁的身体吗？是他的心吗？还是石头西迁的修行？还是外境？还是你我的身心修行？还是整个十方法界？到底这个草庵代表什么呢？这是一个没有答案的一个问题，既可以说这个草庵代表了所有，也可以说这个草庵代表什么都没有。
Okay, next two lines. Where people of the world dwell, I do not dwell. What people in the world crave, I do not crave. The way that Shirto treats this now, all of a sudden, well, he is dwelling somewhere.Right, but not where people of the world dwell, and that doesn't mean that he's gone to some place way out in the mountains and his nearest neighbor is 5 miles away. It's not that kind of distance that he's talking about. He's talking about a differentiation of mind. He's talking about a mind.That is not attached.
接下来两句讲到的是，世人住处我不住，世人爱处我不爱。这个两句讲到住处，就是说，石头西迁他的心到底是停留在什么地方，是住在什么地方呢？他必定是有一个住的地方的，但是呢，他停留地方并不是一般世人所停留的，比如说，我们所有的。烦恼啊，还有我们的喜欢贪爱的东西啊，我们的执着啊。当然这句话并不是表面上说的好像石头西迁住得很远，他最近的邻居也要5公里之外，他并不是这个字面的意思，他应该是讲他的心到底是处在什么状态，是住在什么地方，他心应该是没有染的，没有不执着的一种心。
And I'd like to also to add that it's not that he's some kind of a curmudgeon who doesn't want to deal with people in the world. It's really talking about a different state of mind. And then he goes on to say, what people in the world crave, I do not crave. Now, one thing that's quite interesting about this is, well, What we normally think about craving, the kind of the five attachments we often talk about in Chan, fame, fortune, food, sex, and sleep. what ordinary people seek after. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about that he just doesn't like the books that other people read, or he's, you know, if you were around today, that there's certain movies that he won't go to. It's not talking about that at all. It's not about likes and dislikes. The character that is used to and that I've translated as crave is the character I, which in modern Chinese is love. But it is also the character that's used for the eighth link in the 12 links of dependent origination. So there's a much, much deeper meaning of the word crave here. This is the point that comes right after sensation and just before clinging. This is the point in the mind where you've interacted with the world, sensations have arisen, but this is where your mind moves, where you react, where you begin to attach, where you look at things in terms of concepts and ordinary modes of coming and going. All of these things that would be part of the eight negations of eternal and perishing the same and not the same and coming and going, all of these opposites, those kind of attachments arise with craving. And so he's saying here that he doesn't crave that. And he's actually saying he does not crave.
刚刚讲到世人住处我不住，也并不是说这个法师就不想跟一般人有任何交道，就想一个人住着，并不是这个意思。他只是描述一种新的状态。然后接下来讲到世人爱处我不爱，这里的爱呢，在英语里我们解释就是一种强烈的欲望，一种渴求。一般是我们知道一般的众生渴求什么？渴求名利啊、食物啊、性爱啊、睡觉啊这些烦恼、这些贪着。然后，那他在这个句子里边，他选择爱这个字。爱这个字在中文里的意思是喜爱啊、贪欲啊。但是这个爱不仅仅是这个意思，它还有更深刻的一层含义，是指在佛教十二因缘里讲到的触受爱取有这个爱。这个大家知道，在十二因缘里讲到触受爱取有这个爱字是紧接着受字，受之后，受就是说你通过六根已经，你的心已经跟外界互动之后，感受已经起来了，接下来你的心怎么样，根据这个感受就开始动了，你的心一动就开始执着，就是要喜欢不喜欢执着不执着这样一种状态。所以这个爱也有十二因缘里所讲的爱的这层含义。在这里呢，石头西迁讲到世人爱处我不爱，世人一般贪求的渴望的东西我已经没有什么欲望，并不喜爱。同时他也讲到他连这种渴求这种贪欲的心也不会起来。
Next couplet. Though the hut is small, it encompasses all Dharma realms. Ancient masters and this old man penetrate appearance and essence. Alright, the hut is small, it encompasses all Dharma realms. How are we to understand that? On the face of it, it seems absurd. The hut, which we actually can talk about right now, this is a very problematic thing in translation in the next line. This Fang Zhang, the 10 square feet. And this actually is about maybe 3 and 3.5 feet by 3.5 feet. It's 10 square feet, a very small space. And actually, that word, that Fang Zhang, is what is used for in some monasteries in China, the seat upon which the abbot sits. And the word, this word denoting space, also refers to the abbot himself. And even today in modern Chinese, this is the honorific for an abbot.
接下来两句讲到，安虽小含法界，方丈老人相提解。字面上来看呢，第一句话是很滑稽的。为什么讲安虽小去含法界，且含所有十方法界，是不是很自相矛盾？然后这个接下来方丈两个字呢，有多层含义。因为方丈可以从字面角度讲，就是一个空间的大小，它是3.5英尺这样一个方丈一个场地。然后方丈在中文里边又有指是我们大家知道方丈法鼓山的方丈啊，是一个寺庙的一个领导的这样一个名台就是头衔。
Okay, so for someone whose mind is dwelling nowhere, who is in a state of non-attachment, what would be the meaning of small or large? It would at that point have no meaning at all. Where would there be a boundary to a luminous mind? So he understands conventionally he's in a small hut, but that hut does not define him or anything about him or the universe. That hut is simply an expedient means that he's using to convey what he's doing.
但是对于开悟之人而讲，他有没有这种小和大的概念了？他应该不会再局限受到小或者大这种概念局限。所以对他而言，这一所说的具体的草庵的大小只是一种方便之门，来告诉你什么是什么，它并没有一种小或大的这样一种分别心了。
Okay, the next line which is very problematic to translate has often been interpreted as just the old man in the hut, that this 10 square feet refers to where he is and kind of identifies him, and that he can penetrate appearance and essence or form and essence, meaning that he's not caught in the seeming characteristics of things. However, according Guo Xingfasher's interpretation of this line is that enlightened beings understand one another quite well. And I think to add to that, not only do they understand one another quite well in the present, but there is an unbroken line with no beginning and no end of the true mind, where there has been this transmission from the past to the present. Yeah, Bill. I'm talking about the one ancient masters and this old... I was actually going to get there. So what I did in my translation is I tried to combine those two ideas by having ancient masters and old man as two sort of separate entities, and with the hope that someone might interpret that as not only do they each or all penetrate appearance and essence, but they penetrate, understand, and are completely in the same line of thought or understanding with each other. And that, once again, those two lines, once again, combine sort of space and time. It's talking about the hut, one small place. It certainly exists, but it also encompasses everything. There's a line in the Avatamsaka Sutra, how one grain of sand contains all the sutras. This interpenetration, like the net of Indra, everything contains everything else. All dharmas are one.
应该电快不足了。接下来两句讲到方丈老人相提解，这个方丈应该有两层的意思。第一个就是我刚刚讲到，它就是指一个空间的大小，就是十平方英尺这样一个一块地方，这样一个草丸所占据这一块空间的地方。然后有人翻译成解释为，就这样一小块草丸所占的地方呢，里边有一个修行人，他能够开悟，能够穿越他物质界和能够见到他的真性。但是国行法师呢是做另外一种理解，他认为这里讲的方丈是我们中国人所讲的住持方丈的方丈，所以这里讲到方丈老人相提也是指的禅宗一代一代祖师代代相传以心印心这样一种传承从未间断过，一直延续到现在这样一种意思。
Okay, and since time is growing short, I'm going to do one more quatrain, which I think goes together, and that's Bodhisattvas of the Supreme Vehicle have faith unsullied by doubt. Followers of the middling and lesser paths hear this and are surely puzzled. They ask if this hut will fall apart. Falling apart or not, the original master has always been here.
由于时间有些紧迫，所以我就讲一下下面四句。下面四句讲到的是上乘菩萨信无疑，中下闻之必生怪，问此安，坏不坏，坏与不坏，主缘在。
So Bodhisattvas of the Supreme Vehicle, Sherto, I don't believe, is talking about a particular school of Buddhism. He's talking about Chan as Bodhidharma might have, as Bodhidharma described Chan practices being outside of words, outside of the scriptures, pointing at the mind and illuminating true nature. That is the highest practice. That's the vehicle which is common to all of us, but obviously not apparent to us.
第一句讲到上乘菩萨啊，我想石头先并不是他在讲上乘菩萨的时候，并不是说他在对比其他南传或者其他小乘佛教，他所讲的上乘菩萨只是指能够见到妙明真心本性的那些大菩萨。
Okay, and followers of the middling and lesser paths. Well, the middling are followers of the Hinayana Theravadin, the Nikaya teachings, the earliest teachings of the Buddha. Those, at least in the Chan school, are characterized as seeking nirvana and believing that there is a difference between nirvana and samsara. Samsara is something that has no beginning but has an end, and nirvana has a beginning and has no end. And so that is a lesser view in the Chan school. And the lesser paths are basically anything that's the path that ordinary people are on, and that can encompass anything from hell beings to gods to all other kinds of practice. And people who are not of the practice that Sherto is are puzzled by what? By his faith, unsullied by doubt. And I will get into that.
接下来一句讲到中下闻之必生怪，这里讲到的中下应该就是指一些就是非大乘佛教其他的一些修行者，比如说小乘佛教修行者、原始佛教修行者，或者任何相信轮回和涅槃是两件不同的事情的这种修行者，不管是从地狱到天人，他们一旦听到大乘佛教的说法呢，就会感到很奇怪，就会有疑问。
Now, so the big question is, well, they have faith unsullied by doubt, but faith in what? Usually, when you speak of faith or belief, it's faith in something. And it's not mentioned in the poem, not explicitly. And, of course, this faith has to be understood in a very all-encompassing way. In Faith and Mind, Sung Tan says that faith and mind are not two. Non-duality is faith in mind, and accord with your nature and unite with the way. So this faith is an utter understanding and being with the moment, things as they are, not having the mind intercede, the ordinary mind intercede and start to color and label and come up with ego-based ideas about what is happening. This is a faith that there is something beyond that. There is something beyond the falling apart and the repairing of the hut, which is why the followers of these middling and lesser paths, they don't get it. They think that there's something to be gotten by practicing. They're looking at things in a very narrow way. They're saying, all right, I see you're sitting there and you're meditating, but, well, how long are you going to have to do that? When are you going to reach the fruits of your practice? I don't know. You don't seem to really be espousing the kind of doctrine, the Buddha Dharma, the way that I hear it, so I think you're on the wrong path. I don't understand what you're doing. You're really going to fail. This whole venture that you're on is just going to come to nothing.
所以，在第一句当中讲到上乘菩萨信无疑，这个信啊是指一般我们讲到信都会说，你信什么呢？一般会讲到信，可是在这边只是讲到上乘的菩萨对他自己所修行的信仰是非常坚定的，没有任何疑问的，但他没有具体的讲到底上乘菩萨信仰什么，并没有解释。我觉得这个信仰什么，这个必须放到全文来。整个文章才能够做一番理解。比如说在森灿禅师的信心名当中提到，有一句偈子讲到，信心不二，不二信心。当你与你的本性相一致的时候，你就跟与道相应。这里也讲到信心和心的关系，就像石头西迁这里所指的信无疑，这个信心，这个信，他所指的状态是说他的那种信仰和信念是与活在当下的这颗真心本性相应的，是没有从我们一般众生自我的从逻辑概念上的去理解的信心相关，它是一种活在当下的一种与道相应的一种心态，一种状态。
Okay, and if you remember that Yeats poem where he talks about his song and the coat that he made for it, and then but the fools caught it and wore it in the world's eyes. Well, this relates to the middling and lesser paths. People are looking at the outside trappings of things and not understanding the things that don't change. They only understand the things that do change. And at Chertua's level, he understands change and no change, and the similarity, the identical aspect of change and no change, and also the difference between change and no change.
所以接下来，在这里呢，又讲到上乘菩萨所信仰的，他的这种信，一个是活在当下与道相应，然后他也是一种不拘小节的一种信仰，他不会像有些修行人会去评判说啊，好像你修行的不太对，我觉得你好像没有按照佛教教理这样修行，好像不会取得什么什么样的结果啊，追求一样一种结果，他是没有这种评判的，他当下的一种执心。然后就像我们前面所提到的，这个草庵坏了又要修啊，要加盖茅草房啊，一般的人只会看到啊， 这个不完美的坏了需要修，但是对于修行开悟的大修行者来讲，坏什么是变化的，什么是不变的这种坏的又修对他来讲是没有区别的，他能够看到变与不变之间的区别。
Okay, so I won't obviously be able to get through this poem today, but I want to at least give a sense of what we've gone over, show that this is a poem, this is a song which is talking about someone who has made a commitment and practice on the deepest level, someone who is not being dissuaded or fooled by the things in the world, by the change, by comings and goings. It is someone who has reached a point of truly seeing his nature and understanding it, and he's conveying that to us. And to sort of bring this back to a more ordinary reality, I thought I would close with a very short couplet from another American poet named Edna St. Vincent Millay, which is it's a two-line poem, and it is, "Safe upon the rocks, the ugly houses stand. Come see my shining palace built upon the sand."
然后我今天可能讲不完，只能讲到这里，但是我想很快速的总结一下今天这首草湾歌到底是讲什么。他描述的应该是一个潜心修行者，他所见到的开悟见性这样一种状态，他试图通过诗歌的形式来告诉我们来表达他开悟见性所处的这样一种新的状态。最后呢，我想以现代美国诗人米雷的非常简短的两句诗歌作为结语。他的诗歌提到，磐石之上楼宇粗犷，看我的宫殿在沙漠中闪亮。
So that leaving you with that question, so are you going to be safe in your house on the rocks, but seemingly subject to change and birth and death, or as the artist is in the St. Vincent Millay, in just in very ordinary secular terms, talking about really trying to penetrate the nature of the world, trying to understand oneself and one's place in the world. And that is a shining palace which is operative at every moment. It's arising and decaying at all the time, yet the person involved in the practice withstands that, does not get turned away, and keeps seeking. Thank you.
就在结语的时候，我就想想大家思考一个问题，请问你的居住所居住的房屋真的是很安全吗？建在岩石之上的话，就算真的建在岩石上也是很安全的吗？它是不是在经历着变化？是不是在经历着成住败坏这个过程？就像这位女诗人米雷所提到的，她的宫殿是在沙漠中起起灭灭。好，今天讲的就到这里，谢谢大家。